morning, everyone. My name is Loli Sibisi. I'm the committee secretary.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Amanda Zindlan. I'm the committee president.
Morning, everyone. My name is Eric Boskati. I'm the Cornell advisor for the committee.
Morning, everyone. My name is Melanie Harris, the chair for the committee.
Thank you very much. We can proceed. Any apologies received? I received an apology from Honorable Smith, Honorable Julius, Honorable Chafne, Honorable Lambo, Honorable Mita, and Honorable Sin. He is in, but he's going to thank you very much. I think and Honorable Connie. Those are the apologies. I think we are going to deal with a presentation by the National Research Foundation. The two points on the agenda, we need to have a quorum. Therefore, we cannot deal with the consideration and adoption of reports of firms and publication amendment bill and the report of the protection and promotion of the Indigenous Knowledge Bill. Thank you. Can we give over to
the Chairperson, Honourable Members, really a big thank you to you, Chair, for allowing us to make this short verbal presentation. We are under strict instruction from the Sivisi that it should be short. And we also appreciate the fact that we have been given the opportunity of making a written submission, which has been sent through to your good office, Chair. So I'll try my best, Chair, to focus on a few substantive issues. The first of which, Chair, and I hope the copies of the presentation have been circulated. The first of which, Chairperson, is to just reflect that next year, the National Research Foundation would have turned 20 years. So it's almost perfect because April 26, 1994, April of 1999 coincides nicely that our country is turning 25 and the organization will be turning 20 as the act was passed in 98 came into effect on the 1st of April of 99. This 2017 amendment is the most significant to date in that 20-year period. We've had two prior amendments through the Amendment Science and Technology Laws Amendment Act of 2011 and 2014, which really focused more on regulatory aspects, how boards were to be appointed, and so forth. So this proposed amendment that is in front of you, Honourable Members, is the most significant to date. The last time we were here, Chairperson, the rationale for the bill was presented by our Minister, as well as our colleagues in the Department of Science and Technology, as the Minister had introduced the bill to Parliament, in the first instance to the National Assembly and to yourself, Chairperson. So I won't really dwell too much on the rationale because it really has been articulated and spelled out by our Minister. What I do, however, want to focus a little bit on is the timelines, where we started, where we are today, because it gives a little bit of context. The bill is formally designated Bill 23 of 2017, but we started this process in 2014, Chair. So it's been a long time in coming. We've had many discussions. The initial draft was in October of 14. The actual bill formally was drafted in 2015, but only came out formally in 2016 through discussions with ourselves and our colleagues in the department. There was also at the same time a draft Science and Technology Laws Amendment Bill, which ultimately elements of which were incorporated into the NRF amendment bill so that we don't have two pieces of legislation which affect the same organization but are running in parallel, and the timelines would in essence be separate. So our minister then incorporated those amendments into the NRF amendment bill, but there has been gazetted a science and technology laws amendment bill, which will at some point come through to this house. That would affect the other science councils like the CSIR, the HSRC and so forth. In our case, those amendments have been incorporated, as I said. So we had the bill, our bill, the NRF amendment bill, formally finalized at least on paper in 2016, in August of 2016, and then Cabinet then formally approved the bill for submission to Parliament in July of 2017, just over a year ago. And then in February, earlier this year, February, the Portfolio Committee on Science and Technology advised the National Assembly that this bill could then be supported and passed, and I think it was unanimously supported and passed by the National Assembly. And excuse me, Chair, we are here in November of 2018 to the Select Committee on Communication and Public Enterprises of the National Council and Provinces to present the same. So it has been quite a few years in the making. Throughout, we have worked very closely with our department. They are lived experiences in terms of what has worked, what has not worked, what are the aspirations of the country for the next 20 to 30 years. We have worked with the legal advisor, Barbara. We know each other very well. And we have also worked with the state law advisors in making sure that what is on the table makes sense for us as a country. Some of the key observations that I want to make, Chairperson, very briefly, is that the organization and particularly our board and the management of the government welcome the proposed amendments. We are fully in support. We are not at odds with our government. And we are saying this because overwhelmingly the majority of these amendments are enabling and provide clarity of roles and responsibility for the organization. It's incredibly important that laws are not ambiguous, they are clear, expectations are clear, and this is what this legislation is proposing. We particularly welcome the revised formulation of the object of the foundation. It makes it pithy, it makes it very clear, and I think it is appropriate in the context of 20 years since the establishment of the National Research Foundation. Contrary to what many people may think, we do welcome the amendment to empower our minister to determine national policy. A national policy would be obviously coming through from the National Research Foundation Amendment Bill, but by so doing, you are able to influence how other actors outside of the national system of innovation also behave. We particularly welcome the proposal to enable the NRF to operate outside of the Republic, and I'll come back to why that is the case, Chairperson. And the additional function to advise formally in law our minister. It allows, I think, for a responsibility on our part to be exercised in a way of supporting our minister to make the best decisions possible on the evidence provided. This revised mandate, Chairperson, is important, as I said, in the context of where we are, 20 plus years, and it's important that all of us must contribute to national development. And so, very succinctly put, the reason for our existence is to contribute to national development. That's that one line at the top. A, B, and C, and D is how we do it. And so we do it principally by supporting, promoting, and advancing research and human capacity development. That's the key. We do it by developing and supporting and maintaining national research facilities And there's a standing invitation, Chairperson and Honourable Members, for you to visit some of our national facilities here in Cape Town. We have got the South African Astronomical Observatory, just here in Observatory, just opposite Hartievale. And we have Itamba Laboratories, the Laboratory for Accelerated Basic Sciences. We do lots of interesting work, some of which we use for those that are unfortunate to have cancer, to detect cancer. And it would be wonderful, I think, Chairperson, if you could have the opportunity of seeing some of the work that that is being done. Supporting and promoting public awareness and engagement in science. It is important, I think, for our society to understand not only the value, the importance of science, but also for science to have an engaged relationship with society to ensure that the science that we do adds value to the needs of our society. So it's a dialectic relationship where society supports us to invest in high quality science to support the national development agenda, while at the same time we in the scientific community also in turn appreciates what is it that society expects of us. And I believe, I think the Honourable Pakis was raising an issue, or was it the Honourable Safako, I think at the last time, how do we do some of these things in terms of... So that's what we currently do. And then the last one, which is also new, C and D are new in the formal sense, but the last one, promoting the development maintenance of the national science system and support of government priorities. It's important that the evidence that we present helps our government make, hopefully, the right choices. I did say, Chairperson, I'll be brief. We particularly welcome, as I said earlier, the power of the Minister to determine national policy and issue policy guidelines. As you can see, the clause is enabling, and it is done in such a way that the organization and the minister work hand in glove. As an organization, we have already identified two areas where we believe our country needs a national policy on. And so we would suggest, we would propose, we would make a case to our government to say these are the areas where national policy is needed in order for us to be able to deliver on the expectations of our government and our society. Similarly, Chairperson, I did say we welcome the power of the National Research Board, the amendment to enable the National Research Foundation to work outside of the borders of the Republic. It's important, Chair, because as we often say colloquially, knowledge knows no boundaries. People move. Unfortunately, so do insects, so do fish, so do animals. And I just want to illustrate two examples. We have a long coastline, but that coastline on the west coast connects with our neighbor, Namibia, with Angola. On the east, on the Indian Ocean side, we've got Mozambique, we've got Tanzania, we've got Madagascar, and we've got the Agulhas Current, which is one of the most important currents that the world actually has on this globe. The work that we do in Port Elizabeth, in Durban, in Cape Town, across the entire eastern side, whether it's on fish telemetry or it's on the changes in climate change that affects what is happening in the biodiversity, whether it's in understanding the impact of drilling and mining off the coast, has and should have a relationship to what is happening in Mozambique. Because what Mozambique does has an impact on us, and what we do has an impact on Mozambique and vice versa. So this would enable us to begin to work far closer with our, particularly our neighbors and obviously with the international communities on matters that are of mutual importance. Another example, Chair, is that Gauteng, for instance, uses an enormous amount or gets an enormous amount of water from the Lesotho Highlands project. We do research on this side of the Drakensberg, but not on the other side of the Drakensberg, where the water actually comes from. And so this would enable us to be able to work on both sides of the Drakensberg, to be able to understand how is it possible for us to assure the delivery of water, which is a vital resource for the development of our country. We particularly, as I said earlier, welcome the amendment which would enable the National Research Foundation to advise the minister, and in particularly, if so required, the minister responsible for higher education training. We cannot do what we do unless we work hand in glove with our universities. But those universities report to the Minister of Higher Education Training. And so the choices that are being made will impact on both ministries, and it is important that we are able to reflect and provide this sort of support to our government to hopefully make the choices that will strengthen the expectations of our society with regard to research and higher education studies. Small matter, which is a governance issue. We are a small board. We are a small board of 12, wholly appointed by our minister. But sometimes we do need additional expertise. Sometimes you may find that we would benefit from having expertise of a financial nature, i.e. we would need a second accountant on the board or a legal person, or whatever the case may be. And this additional clause really allows us to be able to co-opt individuals to bring in the necessary expertise to enable us to fulfill the fiduciary responsibility that you expect of us, so that when we come here, we don't complain that our board doesn't have the requisite ability to perform its fiduciary responsibility. So I'm just picking these as examples, Chair, but throughout the entire bill, we have reflected, we have discussed, we have considered all the different clauses, and we are in full support of the proposal. And in conclusion, I just want to say that we wholeheartedly, Chair, welcome the proposed amendment to the National Research Foundation Act, and we consider the amendments as presented to you, Chair, to be enabling and provide clarity of roles and responsibility of the organization, and would allow us in their totality to be able to assist us to fulfill what is it that is expected of us, which is principally to assist our country to become a better and a more developed society economically and socially. I thank you very much for your consideration.
Once again, I'm going to allow the honourable members, if so wish to make a follow-up questions, the honourable Fakis Nyambi.
Chair, let's welcome the presentation. The latter part of your presentation on welcoming the proposed amendments triggered the question in my mind that who proposed the amendments, the minister or the deputy minister? Firstly, secondly, Chair, I want to go to page 2. The rationale for the bill. Extend the ESPH to extend the functions and powers and the duties of the foundation, in particular, add to the mandate of the foundation. And then the third bullet from below, you talk of transfer of national research facilities. What does that mean in context? And the eligibility to receive funding. And explain the funding part of it. You receive funding from outside. our borders, and what is the role of the minister in terms of that funding. I underlined one sentence somewhere where you say, on page 4, determine the national policies for research and funding to be implemented by the foundation. I want you to combine the two in your answer. Introduce new governance arrangements for explain that to us, and then explain page 4 where you say the minister, I mean the powers of the NFF outside of South Africa, where you talk of a person, the nature of that, where you talk of the person. I was going to ask a question, but you have clarified that on board committees, where you say you might feel that you need a particular expertise and skills, and you can be, in terms of the amendments, be able to co-opt a skill that you think is necessary. I think, yeah, those are the questions that I noted. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Chair. Let me also join and welcome the presentation. My questions were correctly covered by Honorable Parkes, but without confusing myself, the one question that I was going to ask, the unfortunate part is that we don't have the executive authority. I'm checking the timelines and consultation and looking at the implications of dealing with it now. And why now? Because it's clear that in the portfolio committee, that was February, and now it's towards the end of the year. And in terms of the NCOPU, we have a way of dealing with something of this nature. But it might not be a relevant question to the presenter, so that is why I am saying that's a disadvantage when you happen to have a department and the executive authority is not here, because they were supposed to be here. And if I remember very well, the leadership of the NCOP wrote letters to all members of the executive to make sure that anything that has to do, whether with bills, with legislations, and giving them a timeline so that we are able to assist the department, because this is a very important legislation. But if the presenter can comment if there's anything in relation to that. But that was it was a straightforward presentation. My question was covered by Honorable Parkes, except what I'm raising.
Over to you.
Chairperson, honorable members, with your permission, if I could just make a small comment to the injunction of Honorable Nyambi. With regard to the timeline, the dates that are presented in the PowerPoint presentation were when the bill was introduced to National Assembly. So the National Assembly has its own processes, and they would want to consider. We are just mere officials in that process, and we then, on the conclusion, come to you, Chair, and so we really don't have any say in how quickly or how slowly or the rate at which things happen. We are here to provide whatever support is necessary to enable our respective houses to make the decisions that they believe is the most appropriate. So I think that's the best that I can do with regard to that particular matter. Honorable Parkes, with your permission, I'll try and take many of the issues that you raised, starting in the first instance, who introduced the bill? Obviously, it was introduced by our minister, the Minister of Science and Technology. We are just merely officials of an organization where we perform against what the law expects us to do. And it's her bill, she has introduced it, and I think that's why, Chairperson, she was here the last time to present and introduce the bill to you. With regard to, as you say, page 2, it does say quite a number of issues, which are the rationale for this amendment. So the first one is around to determine national policies and issue policy guidelines. I'll use one very practical example, Chair, where in anticipation, in the hope that the NCOP supports this bill in the manner in which it is crafted, we have suggested to our ministry that one of the policies that we need is a policy on funding of postgraduate students. National policy. To say that this policy will take the following form. It will take into consideration the financial needs of students. It will take into account the needs for students to finish within particular timelines. It will take the form of ensuring that it responds to equity of opportunity. So the need to advance gender equity, by way of example, where we are suggesting no less than 55% of the postgraduate students that we support should be women and young women. So I'm just using that as an example, but the actual policy itself would be a policy of our minister. We would suggest, we would propose, we would work with our government to propose such a policy, and hopefully it will come through, which then links to the issue, Honourable Pakis, on the funding. Again, you would notice in this bill, the minister, after consultation with the board, would identify those entities who would be eligible to receive funding, because this is public money. So at the moment, there is a gazette list which includes all our universities, public universities, no private universities, public research institutions, because they have a public responsibility, a public mandate that they need to execute. And so the identification of who should be eligible, what should be the conditions of that eligibility, and what is it that we expect. And so this piece of legislation, the amendment and the way it is written, enable us to be able to do that in a deliberate and in a structured way. And in particular, it is an enumerated, Chairperson, in terms of the amendments. I think it's section 7. It says amendment to section 5 of the 1998 Act, but it's section 7 of the amendment bill. And so it outlines precisely how do you identify, making sure that if a person or an institution does not perform, you are able to withdraw that right to be able to receive public funding. Similarly, Chairperson, the National Research Facility, I invited you to come visit Itemba Laboratories. Again, these are institutions that our country has established to enable the entire research community to use, at no cost to them, because they're a national asset. No one university or research institution would be in a position to establish that infrastructure. So we only have one, what we call accelerator, in the country. No one university, UCT, UWC, but everybody uses that one facility. And again, the identification the declaration of an entity to become a national facility ultimately rests within the purview of the minister, but it is done in such a way that it is after consultation with the organization, because there are implications. You can't just merely declare and then we come back and say, well, maybe can we hurry slowly because these people are actually not ready to undertake this responsibility. So there is this clause in there where we can incubate, we can get somebody started, we can help them grow, and then when we all believe that they are ready to perform this role as a national entity, then we propose to the minister for this national facility to be declared as such. And again, it can also be given as well as withdrawn. So I'll use one example of a withdrawal, which is not a negative one, but which is a positive one. On the 1st of April of this year, the National Zoological Garden, the National Zoo, was a national research facility under the authority of the National Research Foundation. The Minister of Environment and the Minister of Science and Technology had discussions and agreed that the National Zoo needs to go to the South African Biodiversity Institute, the National South African National Biodiversity Institute, SANBI. And that is gone. It is now part of SANBI, and it is no longer given the status of a national research facility. So it was withdrawn, but it doesn't mean that we continue or we cease to work with them. So the status of a national facility is very specific and very unique. The last one, Chair, and if I have not covered all of them, Honourable Pakis, please assist. The last one was around working outside of the borders of the Republic. And as I said earlier, that authority is within the authority of the Minister. The person that it is referred to here is not an individual. It's a person of a naturalized... We are a juristic person, the National Research Foundation. So we would work with another juristic person, let's for the sake of argument, our counterpart in Mozambique, which is the National Research Fund of Mozambique. That would be a natural juristic person that we would work with in that regard. If it is with the Lesotho Highlands project, we would identify who the juristic person is. And again, this is something that would be done with the permission and authority and approval of the minister. Otherwise, it really would be untoward that we are suddenly running helter-skelter across the world and doing things on our own. So it's trying to make sure that you enable, but you enable within a framework of good accountability and ensuring that whenever we use public resources, we can come back to you and explain why we have chosen to work in Mozambique and what is it that we are trying to achieve and how is it that we are looking after not just the interest of the Republic, but also the resources, public resources that you would have appropriated to us. I think, Chairperson, if I have missed anything, my apologies, but Honourable Pakis, I hope has raised the important issues from our point of view. Thank you, Chair.
Go ahead with it. What is the process from now on to
So you go first. Are you responsible? Thank you, Barbara. Can you please explain to us?
So it's multitasking between three different committees, so I was just measured of messaging another committee secretary. I with apologies if the chair can just repeat that for me. Sorry.
I'm saying, what is the process of the bill now? If we have, can you just analyze to us if we do have a quorum, can we proceed by passing or what?
Sure, this is a 75, Section 75 bill, so we don't need provincial mandates from the committee. If the committee would like to suggest certain things with regard to amendments, an NCOP committee has the power to then write in the report certain amendment recommendations as per individual vote that will go back to the NA committee. If the committee regards it as sufficient, as presented by my colleagues from the NRF and the work done by the NA, then the people can go through to the House as is, and once adopted there, will go for signature to the President. So that is the process options currently, Chair.
Let me come in. But for the sake of this committee, if the committee members are happy with the bill as is, we can adopt the report now and let it go through. But the problem now we have is the quorum.
Yes. Just as a process, we don't make any mistakes.
I don't know why we're creating a problem that does not exist. It's a straightforward bill. It's a Section 75. What must happen is that if you can schedule another meeting probably this week or next week, where we'll have a quorum, then deal with it in totality, prepare a report, have it being presented to the House on condition that there are no amendments that will necessitate it to go back to the National Assembly, as she has correctly explained. But now, in view of the reality that the numbers are not here, then let's accept it as it's been presented. So there's no need for the department to do a presentation. We're done with that part. So it's an issue of us considering what is in front of us and then adopting it. Where we'll have the numbers to be able to do that. And then from there, we'll take it to the House and then we'll deal with it.
Thank you, Abhishek. I'm asking because some people will ask me out of the meeting, the process. I explain to them, but I want them to hear. They are not here to hear. I ask it in any case. But thank you very much for the direction. So we do understand, and thank you for the bill. We don't have the forum, so we cannot adopt. We were thinking that we could it through, but unfortunately, due to the number. Thank you very much. Honourable Chair, can we stay behind the weekend to discuss further things? I want your input in the discussion. You want to say something?
No, I'll say it when we have that meeting. But I wanted to assist with the process that can be done.
That's what I
next week, yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. You can be excused. I cannot conclude because thank you very much for the other meeting. Legal advisor in department who is here, because I don't think I'm not closing it down now. We're still going to discuss until that time. I don't know whether you will wait on the outside to see whether we will be able to do that. But in the end, this is done. Yeah. Thank you. People in the House, it's not part of the committee. Sir, please, you want to discuss things here?